Good evening, everybody. Are you all blessed? So you're blessed?
Yes.
You're healthy?
Yes.
You're wise?
Yes.
Good. This training that we're going to provide for you in the next couple of evenings and then Saturday, okay, is meant to do one thing. It's meant to show you the absolute amazing power God has given you. Resident inside of you, it's untapped and unused. How many of you pray in tongues? Okay. Now, if you pray in tongues once a month, put up your hand. You see, you all can, but very few of you do as often as you should. And it's because you don't really understand what it is that you're losing out on. Does that make sense? Okay? Now, how many of you know that the word says that ignorance is the reason why my people perish? It says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, it says further on, it says, for my people reject knowledge. So that's the same text. It says, my people reject knowledge. What is it saying? It says, look, I told them what to do, and instead of listening to me, they went their own way and did their own thing. Alright? And everyone else followed. What makes some people more active, more available, more, let's put it like this, more of something? Okay? In other words, you can see that there is more of something in one person's life than there is in another person's life. Now, is God showing favoritism? No. Okay. So if God is not showing favoritism, then we've all received the same Spirit, but there is a partnership in which we must allow the Spirit of God to work with us in order for us to see the same measure that someone else can see because of the experience that they have through partnering with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So there is a partnering that happens with the Holy Spirit that is learned. It's a learned partnering. It's not something that you just born with. Amen? Okay. Now, what you are born with, unfortunately, for all of us, is that you're born with the knowledge of this world, that you interpret everything you see through what you can see, taste, touch, and feel. Okay? So, you know, your father and your mother, they will guide you. Don't touch this, don't go there, don't be careful for the edge, because you are still unaware of those things as a child. And as you grow up and you begin to learn, you learn that, you know, depth perception actually means that it's further away. Right, and it doesn't, even though it seems like you can reach anything, because you don't quite know how to use your arms yet, when you try and reach something that's down there and you tumble over and fall, you fall kind of far. And some lessons in life are learned really in an unpleasant way. Okay? But how many of you know that we can avoid learning in an unpleasant way if we're willing to take guidance? Yes? So if you're looking for guidance from anybody, what kind of guidance are you going to be looking for? Are you looking for guidance from somebody who's failed in it, or are you looking for guidance from someone who succeeded in it? Now, I can tell you, I will go to guidance to someone who failed many times but yet succeeded. And most people who succeeded are people who failed who finally succeeded. But success doesn't come just like this. Why? Because it takes determination, perseverance, effort, discipline. Okay, so these are fundamentals that you need to understand. Now, tonight, we're going to be, obviously, the whole course is about diversity of tongues. Okay? Now, what do we mean about diversity of tongues? What do we mean about that? Diversity of tongues means that there are different ways in which tongues is expressed. Now, the Bible says that there are diversity of tongues. Okay? There are different ways in which tongues can be expressed. And we are going to explore where tongues came from. Okay? What it's, where it originated. Why do we have it? Is it for us today? Is it something that we can have? Is it something we should have? Is it something we can walk in? What is the benefit of it? How does it work? And all those things. We're going to explore all those things. But I can tell you now that there is a key scripture I want you to keep in mind, and we're going to go there. What it is about is a key text I want to show you, and this key text is going to be in the back of your mind as we go through everything, because I want you to understand that you can be a powerhouse of faith, okay? You can speak in the tongues of angels and men, and you can impress everyone, and you can do it well. But if you don't have this one ingredient, it will mean nothing. Okay? So, and this is so important, because if we don't anchor this whole thing on what it is, okay, then what we will end up doing is we'll end up trying to find our identity in what we do. And so I'm trying to make sure that from the beginning, we don't walk into this thing. Because look, many times when we do a seminar, I can take for granted that you have a relationship with God. How many of you believe you have a relationship with God? Okay. And let me ask you, what did God have for breakfast? How do you know? Were you there? How intimate are we being with God, and how much time do we actually spend with Him? How well do we really know Him? Well, you might know of God. You might read a lot about Him. You might even know how He works and how He functions. You might even know the mechanics of the rules and the laws, spiritual laws that are in action that you can manipulate and use to your advantage and still not know Him. Okay? And if you don't know Him, you won't have eternal life, because eternal life is this, to know the one true God and the one whom He sent, Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Him, now listen, by know, I mean the same word that was used when Adam knew his wife. I mean an intimate connection between you and the Father, where you know Him. In other words, you have an invested trust in God as your Father, where you are vulnerable and open with Him, and He is sharing everything with you when you are sharing everything with Him. Does this make sense to you? Now, guys and girls, it's, you know, we have different dynamics from kind of a male perspective and from a female perspective. The girl, it's very easy to see daddy. Am I wrong? Often, not with every girl, but it's very easy to see daddy with most girls. And unless you've had a bad father or something like that, which, by the way, thank God you can put that to death and just believe in your good father, right? Because God isn't your bad father. He's the best father you could ever have. Okay, so when you have a good father, you can put your trust in your good father. And that's easy kind of from a female perspective. But from a male perspective, a lot of us have had very kind of awkward relationships in that sense, you know. And it hasn't been intimate. It's been kind of at a distance, whether that be because of social, the way that the world is, the social interaction. You know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, and you might think this is weird, but I love to hug and kiss my son. But for most guys, thinking of God hugging and kissing them, that just doesn't really go the mark. Do you know what I mean? But I want you to know this, that when God created hugging and kissing, He didn't create it for perversion. He created it to show affection. And it isn't twisted and wrong for God to want to embrace you and affirm you and encourage you. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not something that you can think is closet case, something bad. And I want to liberate you from that, because for a long time, even in my own life, I struggled with this, and I couldn't really have close relationship with God because I felt that there was this barrier. Okay? And this barrier wasn't, listen, this is not some strange thing. This is just something I came to a realization of. And it was this one idea that God loved me so much, and I love my son. And when I see him, when I come back from work, I don't hesitate to pick him up and show him that I love him. I mean, it's not even a second guess. You know, if someone had to walk in and say, "You kiss your son? What's up with you, dude?" I'd be like, "Dude, there's my door, go." You didn't have to be in my house. You know why? He's my son. I love him. So why would my Father in heaven, who's infinitely more loving and infinitely more kind, who invented this whole thing, not want to just show you that he loves you? Okay, now, this is important because if we don't get our affirmation from our Father, we will try and find our affirmation in other things. We need to be affirmed by him. And trust me, I am going somewhere with this. Okay? I am going somewhere with this. This is good stuff for you. Because if your affirmation isn't from your Father, then it's going to either be from someone else, and the minute they disappoint you, their disappointment is going to become your reality. Okay? And if their disappointment is your reality, then you're always governed by your circumstance. And your circumstance becomes your Father, and that's what the devil wants. He wants you to live according to the things that do or don't happen. So that when things work out the way that God says they will, you go, praise God. And when they don't, you go, God, why me? And it wasn't even God's fault to begin with. You understand? Jesus said, you will face tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so one of the things I want to instill in you, because listen, you know, when you pray in tongues a lot, and I face this, when you pray in tongues a lot, the enemy hates it. He hates it with one of the deepest passions. He cannot understand what you're saying. That's why he tells you it's gibberish. Because to him it is. Let me give you a hint, okay? Let's say there are five languages, and I use every language has the word hi in it, okay? Let's just say every language has the word hi in it, the sound, hi. In English it means hello. In another language it means go. In another language it means so far. In another language it means so. The same sound can mean different things, are you with me, in different languages, isn't that right? So I can say, hi, 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 and have a whole sentence by the Holy Ghost. And the devil wouldn't even know what was coming. Okay? So, trust me, what I'm going to unpack to you in the next while, it's so powerful, and it has been hidden from you, because the enemy doesn't want you to know how powerful it is. Have you ever noticed how the enemy tries to distract you from praying in tongues? The minute you say, you know, I need to pray in tongues a little bit, you're praying in tongues and then someone will phone you, or someone will say something, or someone will do something, or someone will cut you off, or something, anything to get your focus to shift from that which you originally intended to do. Why? Because you're doing too much damage, and the worst thing is he doesn't know how to do damage control because he doesn't know where it's coming from. Okay? And so, now the whole thing with affirmation from your Father is that I want to instill in you a very secure place of identity in God, so that when these things happen, when the enemy begins to try and attack you, and listen, there are some of you who are sitting here who know what I'm talking about. When I talk about perseverance and endurance, they finally understand. And the fruit of it is good. If you know how to stand in the midst of the situation, the fruit of it is good. When you see every circumstance as an opportunity for success rather than an opportunity to be defeated, all right, then you become like God, who sees every situation as an opportunity to show himself strong. See, when your mind, when you see things the way God sees you, when you see things the way God sees them, then you position yourself to be in a place of him using you to do what he wants done. So when God sees a situation as an opportunity and you see it as a defeat, you automatically cancel yourself out. But if you see a situation as an opportunity, God says, someone I can work with. There's not one Old Testament prophet that God used that did not come in line with what God wanted them to say. There's not one Old Testament saint, if we can put it that way, not one Old Testament person that did not cooperate with God. Okay? Let me give you an example of Abraham. Abraham, you know, he's living in a time where there is so many idols. They have an idol for everything. I mean, if they had an idol for the amount of oxygen that was on the planet, they probably could have made one. Okay, so it's just they have an idol for everything, an idol for fertility, an idol for a good harvest, an idol for everything. And you would worship different gods depending on your needs, depending on what you wanted. And this was common practice. Everyone did this. So now imagine in a world where everyone is worshiping many deities, this is the norm. This is everyday life. In that world, you come to your wife one day and you say, God spoke to me. And she says, honey, which one? Right? And you have the audacity to say, the invisible one. Well, wait a minute, babe. You know, we got many gods, but we don't have an invisible god. Every one of them is visible. And he says, no, but that God is the one and true only God. Whoa, wait a minute. I mean, what you're saying is all these people are worshiping all these idols. They're the not-so ones. Do you have an invisible God? No one can see. You're the same one, right? Can we vote on this, please? Majority's going to win. Isn't it? Abraham's going to lose that one. And Abraham says, no, but you don't understand. God told me that if I would pack up and put everything together and go, then he would bless me. And she says, okay, look, babe, you know, I love you. You know, but you know, if my mom stays here, you know, my great aunts, you know how much like I love my great aunts. And we don't have any children, but we've got friends here. You know, now you want to pack up and you want to go because some invisible God told you to go? I mean, listen, are you seeing the picture here? So now she says, okay, look, I mean, I'm willing to entertain this. You know, I love you. Just tell me where we're going so I can tell people where we're going. And he says, kind of said you'll show me when we get there. this is not good. Are you understanding what's happening here? Abraham is in an infinite place of faith. He is exceptionally exercising faith here because there is no reason why he should be believing this except that God said. That's the only thing God said. And because I know God said, I'm going to do. That is literally what Abraham did. And this is literally the Abrahamic faith. You know what the Bible says? The faith of Abraham. It's talking about that. It's not talking about a quantity of faith. It's talking about the audacity of faith. It's the Abrahamic faith. This is the same faith we have, that we would dare to believe that God made us eternal beings in the instant when we put our trust in Jesus. It's outrageous faith. You don't know, you can't see it. You can't prove it. You just believe it. Are you with me? You know that Jesus came. You know that God made good on his first promise. But we know that there's a promise coming of the redemption of our flesh. Right, so that, how can we put ourselves in that great hope of that which is coming if you can't see it? That's Abraham's kind of faith. So when the Bible says having the faith of Abraham, it's not saying that Abraham's faith was imparted to you. It's saying that you are having the same faith Abraham had. So when it says, when it talks about Christ's faith, it's also not talking about the faith of Christ being imparted to you. It's talking about the same faith Christ had. Remember the Bible says, having the same mind that was within Christ, that even though he was God, he did not consider it robbery to be God's equal, but laid himself down, became a man, brought amongst men. So he did that all, even though he was God's equal. That was the mind that was in Christ. God, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, if you read the whole chapter, it says Jesus entrusted himself to the one who would judge justly. There was faith in God. In the midst of your situation, still choosing to trust God, even though you're being mistreated, even though your rights are being taken away from you, even though you're being treated like unhuman, even though you should stop your foot and go, I insist that you do what's right. Jesus didn't. Everything. Remember, Jesus wasn't guilty. So why didn't he say, okay, guys, look, this game is nice, but I'm out of here. why didn't he say that? Because Jesus carried his cross. What are the three steps to being Jesus' disciple? How many of you know? Step one, deny yourself. You won't get to step two or step three if you don't do step one. Many people are trying to do step two without doing step one. Let me tell you, when you try and do step two without doing step one, it's a very frustrating place to live. Because you're trying to suffer every injustice of the world while you're still very much alive and not denying yourself. Step one is deny yourself. Step two is suffer every injustice of the world. Okay? Suffer every injustice of the world. That's what Jesus suffered with his cross. He suffered every injustice of the world. Okay? For the sake of the kingdom. Not for the sake of robbing a store. Because then it's not injustice. Yes? Peter writes, says, if you suffer your punishment when you've done something wrong, then why do you complain when you suffer your punishment when you've done something right? Don't you know this is a gracious thing? I would rather be punched in the face for the gospel than punched in the face because I did something wrong. Do you understand? I would rather die for the gospel than die because I murdered a whole bunch of people. Okay? That's what it's talking about, that it's being a glorious thing. That's called picking up your cross. He must pick up his cross. And then Jesus said, and follow me. That means pick up your cross in the same way in which I did. Follow me. Do the same thing I did. Okay? Walk the path I walk. And the Bible says in 1 John, this is how we know that we abide in him. How? That we walk as he walked. You see, these are very important keys. And so, if we don't get to that step, okay, this is what happens. You start praying in tongues. Okay? And you're going. Stuff starts happening. Because now the devil is under. He's under defense. You're praying in tongues. He's on the defense. His best defenses are good. Okay? So what's going to be his offense? His offense is going to take whatever you have been weak to. Whether it be money, whether it be a vice, whether it be anything, whatever you've been weak to, he's going to try and exploit it and use it to his advantage. Okay? He's going to try and exploit whatever you've been weak to so that you will stumble and stop praying in tongues. Because the minute you stumble, you disqualify yourself from praying in tongues. Let me tell you something. The only way to overcome sin is to pray in tongues. The only way to win is to rely on the Spirit. It says, put to death what? The deeds of the flesh. Who must do that? You must. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. But God is not asking you to do it by yourself. He says, you put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. So there's a dynamic. You lean on the strength of the Spirit. You don't lean on the strength of your flesh. The Bible says, put no confidence in the flesh. We put confidence in the Spirit. Now, how do you get more confidence in the Spirit? Praying in tongues, being built up in your most holy faith. And we'll get to these scriptures as we move along. So what I'm trying to get you to is this understanding that tongues is a gift, the only one that's for you. Every other gift in the body of Christ, you give to someone else. The only gift God ever gave to you was tongues for your own edification. For you. And which one is the least pursued? Tongues. People want to pursue prophecy. They want to pursue healing as a gift. They want to pursue faith as a gift. They want to pursue all these miracles as a gift. They want to pursue them as gifts. Okay? But the only gift that is given to you, for you, is tongues. So the first one you should pursue is tongues. Because, and I will show you this, and I'll qualify this through the course, if that's okay, okay? Because I do, you will see this is clear throughout the training. Tongues is the dynamo gift that enables the activation of all the other gifts. Okay? Why? What stops God from working through you? You. What stops God from working through you? You. Your unbelief. Okay? Now listen, you can say, oh, but I do believe. Yes, I know you're a believer. But within different categories and different situations, you can fall into unbelief because the circumstance is greater than the relationship and the reality of God that you carry. You haven't cultivated a relationship with God where that circumstance seems defeatable. Which is why putting into practice healing, for example, as we teach, can help you see those situations become smaller, because where are you going to go to when you don't get it right? Where should you go to? You should go to your Father. You should go to your Word. Is that right? You should go back to Jesus. And that's meant to help you build relationship. You see, most people think, well, I'll just do this blindly over and over again. Well, that's not how it works either. Because if you exercise authority, but you don't know who you are, then when you're exercising that authority, you're exercising it like someone who doesn't know they have it. So, for example, if I don't know that I have authority to tell you to do something, I will kind of try and ask you to do it in a way that you hopefully like to want to do it, because I don't want you to think that I'm trying to exercise authority to make you do it. But if I know I have authority, if I'm the CEO of the company and I pay your salary and I say, go and make a copy of this paper, I'm not trying to cushion my request. Do you understand? Now, I can be more polite, right? I can say, please go make a copy of this paper. And I'll still get the job done because I have the authority. But I have the authority, and you know it, and I carry that authority. That's why I know it. But if you see, say, somebody who doesn't know their authority, and they're acting all kind of meek, and meek's a bad word to use. It's more kind of unsure or unconfident. If I can use that, okay? If they come in unsure and unconfident and ask you to do something, you probably ignore them. Because you think, well, why are they asking me to do this? They don't have any right to ask me to do this. But when you find out, oh, this person is the CEO of the company, firstly, I think you'd be shocked. Because the CEO of the company knows that they have the authority to ask you something. Okay? And then secondly, you think, okay, well, I'll go do it because I know his authority. But not because he was carrying the authority. So the strength of your relationship with your Father, okay, your intimacy with God, that's going to boost the strength of your authority. Because how can the righteous be bold as lions? Doesn't the Bible say the righteous are bold as lions? Okay, you guys do know I've been quoting Bible all my life. Just because I haven't opened it doesn't mean I haven't quoted it. The righteous are bold as lions because they know they're right. When you know you're right, then you can be bold. But if you're not sure, then you're not sure. You won't be bold. That's the whole confidence thing that I'm talking about. And the enemy can pick up on your lack of confidence. He can pick up the minute you lack confidence because he knows that you're not in full actualization. You're not actualizing Christ fully in your life. Just remember, no matter how young you are in the Lord, I don't care if you got saved yesterday, 6 months ago, or 10 years ago, or 30 years ago, the same Jesus is deposited in you. Okay? The kids, they don't get a junior Holy Ghost. They get the same Holy Ghost. They get the same one. Okay? So since they have the same Holy Spirit, then it's not measured by their age. It's not measured by their longevity in Christianity. You know, there's some people, when they've been in the company for 10 years, they demand certain rights, but they've done nothing to deserve it. Someone who comes in for the first 6 months does more than they did in 10 years, but yet they still want to say, well, I've been loyal to the company. That's not necessarily a gauge of someone's success. Does that make sense? So what I want you to understand is that it's about cultivating the relationship between you and the Holy Spirit. And this is what tongues so amazingly helps us do. Now, when you pray in tongues, how many of you can understand your tongues? Okay, so you're interpreting on the fly. Yeah? Okay. So now what Hendrik's doing is he's interpreting his tongue, but when he speaks his tongue, he doesn't understand it. It's when the Holy Spirit tells him what he said that he understands. Okay, so the rest of you, you can't understand when you're praying in tongues. Am I correct? Okay. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. The reason is this. Now, even though Hendrik might get interpretation, there might be things that God will not tell him. Okay? Why? Yes, to keep it hidden. But not just to keep it hidden from the enemy, to also keep it hidden from him. Because if it's hidden from him, then he can't doubt it. You understand? If God, imagine if God had to prophesy in through the Holy Ghost, prophesy, then you would raise 1,000 people from the dead in one day. Okay? And imagine as you said it, you heard it. You know what you would do? You'd fall instantly into doubt. And you'd nullify the power of what you just said by what you believe in your heart. So the Holy Spirit knows that. So that he won't tell you everything that he is saying. Because there are things he knows you can't bear yet. You haven't come to the place where you can understand that yet. Okay, does that make sense? And so this is where tongues becomes very helpful and very useful. Because now you're praying, and the Holy Spirit is praying on a level beyond your ability to just have faith in God. Come on. You see, your faith in God depends on what he's promised and what you've convinced yourself that you have. But when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit prays as if you have absolute faith in everything he says. No matter what the promise, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance. So he can bypass your natural limits and do for you, be the help for you that you needed. Okay? But there's one thing he needs. He needs it desperately, otherwise you tie his hands to help you. You have to pray in tongues. Now some people might be sitting here and say, well, I don't know how to. Or I never received that. If I don't have the gift of praying in tongues, I mean, I'm not saved. Because, you know, you're supposed to get, if you get the Holy Spirit, then, you know, there's all these things. Well, let me tell you like this. There's a difference between having a new spirit connected to God and being baptized in the Spirit of God. There's a difference between those two things. Some people have tried to say that there isn't, but if you read your Bible without trying to find a way that there isn't, you find out that there is. Okay? This is just how it is. Okay? If you don't read into the text, okay? My pet peeve is people who read into the text. Just read the text, for goodness sake. Take what it says first. And if what it says doesn't make sense, then go and find out. But other than that, most of what it says means what it says. And the more we believe that what it says it means, the easier it gets. I am not one of the sharpest tools in the shed. But praise God, I have grace to understand simplicity. And simplicity is key. Okay? If God was going to make the gospel complicated, all right, if he was going to make it complicated, then he'd have to send you all to seminary before you could become Christians. But only thing that happens at most seminaries is that people end up being in a cemetery. In most of the cases, people get killed there before they even get a chance to live. That happens very often. And I'm not saying it always does. Some people are a lot better at rightfully dividing and choosing to not believe some things and other things. But It is a dangerous place, unfortunately. Okay? So, and please don't give me an email saying that you must remember the seminary is done. I'm just saying that that's been the track record. Okay? It's a factual statement. Okay, so, and if you send me an email, I'll reply to you. I love you. A lot. Okay? Okay, so, and I'll pray for you. So if you want me to pray for you, like, trust me, it'll be good. So then just send me an email, it'll be good. Okay? Alright, so what I want you to get is that because the Holy Spirit is able to bypass your natural limits, so that means the limit that you are in at that moment. It doesn't mean that you stay there. It doesn't mean that you can't progress and move forward or grow past that limit. But at that point in time, you need something that can bypass where you're at so that you can get access to something greater than what you deserve to have. That's called a gift. Come on, follow me. When the Holy Spirit gives you access to something greater than what you are able to walk in by faith alone, it's called a gift. Okay? Which is why, how many of you have noticed that tongue-speaking churches have more gifts operating than any other church? Whoa, there must be a correlation. Go with me, please, to the book of Corinthians. We're going to wrap up with this and then we'll get into session two. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians and we're going to read from chapter 3. It says here, But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people. Okay? So please underline in your Bible, could not address you as spiritual people. And you can put a little note there. Paul did not consider them to be spiritual. So having the gifts operating in your church has got nothing to do with being spiritual. Because how could he say this and then 12 chapters later say that you come behind no one in things spiritual? That wouldn't make sense, would it? Okay? I fed you with milk, not with solid food, but you were not ready for it, even now you were not yet ready. For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? He did not compliment them for being only human. Right? So some people say, oh, but you know, I'm only a human. I'm bound to mess up. No. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you're not only human. That a large part of you is multiple Holy Ghost. You're not only human. Amen? Okay. So yeah, he's saying to them, I can only speak to you as those of the flesh. Why? Because they're not spiritual. Why are they not spiritual? What does he say? Why are they not spiritual? While there is envy and strife and jealousy among you, are you not of the flesh acting like a mere human? So what is he saying? Wherever there is envy and strife, let me add to that, malice, slander, anger, pride, okay? The other things that the other apostles address, and they say, now put these things behind you and receive the pure milk of the word leading you to grow up into salvation, okay? All those things are constantly about putting those things away, okay? So that our motive, the motive of our hearts, no longer in line with those things. Now, let me just, please understand, I'm moving towards something. I want to make a very big point. Once I make that point, then I'm going to start to unpack the rest of this for you, okay? This, if you see this, what is slander? What is malice? What is envy? What are these things? These are things that are driven by selfishness. Every single one of these things are driven by selfishness. Now that means you are self-aware, self-centered, self-objective. Everything is about you. You know, when you see that guy and everything's about them, be careful that you're not him as well before you go speak to him. Because you need to get the log out of your eye before you can take the splinter out of his. Amen? So what I want you to understand is that Selfishness is what Paul is talking about here, because later on he even tells him, when he talks about communion, he says, why do some of you come and eat and leave nothing for somebody else? And some of you get drunk on this stuff and you completely do this the wrong way. What is that? What kind of behavior is that? That's what? Selfish behavior. So this selfishness was in their church. They were very carnal. Are you with me? Selfishness was in their church. But yet, even though they were this selfish, they were this carnal, they were this fleshly minded, they still operated in things spiritual more than any of them. This is a radical thing. Okay? Because what they were operating in was gift. So I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 12 for me. And we're just going to quickly read this. In verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed, or concerning things spiritual, depending on which translation you have. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So they were so, they had such a little clue. They had such a small clue. I mean, someone prophesied Jesus is accursed, they would think, well, maybe Jesus is accursed. And so, yeah, Paul is saying, no, this God's Spirit would never say that. Everything. So he's having to bring this correction in there. You see that? Now there are varieties of gifts. I mean, there are what? There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So what are the varieties? They are manifestations of the Spirit for the common. Okay. So, but then he carries on. He says, to each is given the manifestation. And then he says in verse 8, but to the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. That's where it gets diversity of tongues from. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Okay, now. The Holy Spirit. Who is he? Is he God?
Yeah.
Okay. Is God's will that you should walk in everything that he has for you? And if he apportions as he wills, and we know his will is that we should walk in anything we need, then he will apportion what we need. Because what would you do with word of knowledge when actually you need gift of healing? Right? Either the Holy Spirit is confused and manifests the wrong things at the right time. Or the Holy Spirit gives as he wills, which means he'll give what you need because it's his will that you have what you need in the situation. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so you see that Paul talks about this body analogy that's been largely misunderstood. You know, you're not just an ear. Jesus said, you will be my representative. Let's bring it into the context that Jesus was talking about. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Did Jesus embody the fullness of God? Did he embody the Father? Did Jesus say, from now on, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? So Jesus said that, right? So did he just represent the ear? Did he just represent the eye? Did he represent the whole body? The whole body of his Father. So we have to represent the whole body of Christ. Okay, now, there are different parts of the body purely for the function of encouraging the body to grow up into fullness. When the body grows up into fullness, then the whole body, every member in the body, will be as the whole body is. Because we are meant to represent Him collectively and individually accurately. How can you be like Jesus when really you're only just supposed to be like His mouth? Like. You know what I'm saying? You can't be the hands and feet of Jesus when you're just supposed to be His fingernail. So we make these boxes. Now, why was Paul using the language of a body? Because he was talking to selfish people in the context of cooperation. And some of them were saying, I'm better than so-and-so because I've got this gift. And some of them were saying, I'm better than so-and-so because I've got that gift. So yeah, these people are boasting about their gifts when we know gifts are free. And how can you boast about something you don't deserve to have in the first place? And the fact that they're carnal shows you that they didn't deserve to have them at all. So now I beg you the question, how come they had them more than anyone else? No. They prayed in tongues more than all the churches. In fact, they prayed in tongues so much that Paul had to correct them and tell them, no, in this context, you don't pray like this. You pray like that so that it doesn't seem to the world that you're losing it. And in the other context, then you pray like this. And then at the end he says, now don't forbid praying in tongues because I pray in tongues more than all of you. So he wasn't saying don't pray in tongues. He was just saying within certain contexts, there is a better way to pray than in other contexts. And since these very selfish people were trying to outdo one another, you can imagine the screaming match that was going on. Is this making sense to you? So what I want you to understand is that the gift of praying in tongues is literally the firehouse of where all these gifts come from. Because the Holy Spirit is able to say on your behalf what you still don't have the faith to say. And you're able to believe it because you actually don't know what you're saying. And you just believe Him because He's the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm not going to doubt the Holy Ghost. So you just, yeah, okay, whatever He said. I'm with Him. Is that right? Okay, does that make sense? All right, awesome. Let's take a 10-minute break.